Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Or how you've been in a situation and where you're looking for a promotion and you believe that you're on the precipice of greatness. This thing. The thing about this thing is that the door has to unlock and only God can unlock it. The question then is, how do you get from this to that? How do you get over here to where you see your dreams fulfilled, to where God literally lays the head of Goliath at your feet, which was a prophetic word to this church almost a year ago. That God wants to lay the head of Goliath at your feet. He wants to give you victory over what's been victorious over you. Someone say amen. When you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, and you look at, or excuse 17, and you start at verse 19, you begin to realize that the story of Samuel unfolds. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I want you to specifically look with me at verse 21, excuse me. He arrived at the perimeter of the camp as the army was marching out to its battle formation, shouting their battle cry. Now, this next verse I'm going to unlock at the end of this message, and it is going to set us into a new paradigm of where you are going to move from this to that. And we'll begin that journey today, but we will continue that journey through the coming weeks. Verse 21 is extremely important. Israel and Philistines lined up in battle formation facing each other. David has left his supplies because young David had gone to bring lunch to the ones fighting the battle. And when he arrived, he asked his brothers, now they were there. And while he was speaking with them, suddenly, now underline this in your Bible, and do not think you know what this means because you're reading it in the English. Now the champion, named Goliath, the Philistine, the Philistine from Gath. I want you to know, if you're young in here, listen to me very quickly. They have found the city of Gath, excuse me. They have found archaeological evidence that Philistines really did live as neighbors closest to Israel. They have found stones and slingshots that were used during this period of time. And they have also, and Google it and find out if I'm telling you the truth or not, they have found pottery. Archaeologists have confirmed it had writing on it in the city of Gath. And do you know what word was on the pottery? Goliath. This is not just a bedtime story for your children to learn how to live in victory. It is a story on how you and I can learn how to live in victory. And it isn't a story, it's a historical fact. Somebody say amen. And so I'll stop right there and start talking about the story. When you get ready to move from this to that, when you get ready to make up your mind that you have lived in this place long enough, when you get ready and you understand that God is about to transition you, there are several five simple things that you're going to go through and that you need to prepare yourself. Number one, you're going to have to prepare yourself to understand that the man in between is the man or woman that's going to win this battle. The word, the man in between, is actually in Scripture. I read it to you all ago. The man in between, the one in between this and that, the one in between victory and losing and depression and hopeful promotion, the one that is in between this and that. And because the battle to go to that is won in this as the man that is in between, the man or the woman that is in between. And I want you to just go on a little journey with me real quick. And I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but you have to realize this joker shows up in the middle of this. And he's terrifying. He's loudmouth. He's equally offensive in his speech. Verse 4. They called him the man in between. His name was Goliath. You see it in verse 23. And he refers to himself, or the scripture refers to himself as Goliath as the Philistine, the giant of all giants. That giant may be molestation to you. That giant may be you're waiting on a promotion. That giant may be depression. That giant may be the lack of funds. That giant may be you know that God has promised you good things and you're on the precipice of a promotion. Whatever that giant is in your life, I'm going to tell you today that it still has the ability through the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life to fall in Jesus' name. You do not have to live with that giant. You do not have to put up with his arrogant speech that says you're nothing and you're never going to amount to a hill of beans. You do not have to listen to him. You do not have to bow to him. I don't care how big he is. I don't care how accurate he can swing a spear. He cannot swing a spear with more accuracy than the Holy Ghost can put a stone between his head. I'm here to tell you that there is a possibility for you to win the battle that you're in right now, and that you don't have to die on the battlefield. You can turn around and become a man that is in between. Somebody say amen. And so you look and you see his city, you see his appearance, where it says that when you looked at him, he was the man in between. And I know you don't understand that yet, but you will. Verse 4 talks about how tall he was. It says he was 9 feet 9 inches. Well, it wasn't enough that David was not a man. David wasn't a young adult. That David was a child, probably around 14 to 16 years of age. David wasn't looking for a battle. David was just trying to do something great for God. He'd had the battles that all young men had. He had to fight a lion. He had to fight a bear. All of us have been through something. Say amen. But he had never been through what he was about to go through. And what you need to understand is what he was about to go through, he didn't choose. Nobody chooses to fight depression. Nobody chooses to fight divorce. No one chooses, hallelujah, no one chooses to go through setbacks and bury loved ones. You didn't choose this battle. But here's the one thing I got news for you. It doesn't matter if you chose it or not. The battle's not yours, but the battle's is God Almighty, and God is more than able to get you out of this and send you to that quicker than you can shake a stick if you will become a man in between. So you have to realize, right, it's okay to give God praise in this house. Just don't insult him with patty caking. He was tall, and when you look at Samuel in 1 Samuel 16 and 7, Samuel had already said, when you look at a man, don't look at his appearance or his height of his stature. So David had already been taught in previous battles. David had already been taught, and people had already been taught by the prophets in previous situations, that when you're in a battle, don't you look at how big depression is. Don't you look at how much more power your ex-husband has financially than you do. Don't you look at the power of bitterness and unforgiveness. Keep your eyes off of what happened to you. If you keep your eyes on what happened to you rather than who you are in Christ, you're never going to get out of this. But if your eyes ever get onto the reality that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and that God is the God of the Almighty, and that there is nothing too big for him, that he can get you out of anything at any time and any place, if you'll bow your knees, say amen, and lean a little bit. Oh, give God a hand clap of praise in this place. His armor, you know, verses 5 and 6, there was a lot of metal. And what most people don't understand about the Philistines is that the Philistines controlled metal working during this period of history. They were better at bending metal and making metal than any other civilization at this time. They were the kings of metal making. And here's little David. He hadn't got anything but a couple of little stones in his bag. He hasn't got anything but lunch because he didn't come to fight in the first place. The stones had been reserved for the lion and the bear, or anything that would hurt him during the point of time that he was working and living for God. He was a shepherd. He was a kid. He didn't come looking for a battle. He didn't come looking for depression. He didn't come looking for a divorce. He didn't come looking for losing his job. He didn't look for any of that stuff. He was doing what he was supposed to do. He was delivering lunch to his brothers who were going to go fight the Philistines. But the Israel at this time, even though today they're one of the greatest armies in the world, Israel at that time had no battle gear. There was no battle gear for an Israelite. They were just naked, if you could understand, as far as metal was concerned. So it's not enough that this sucker is 9'9". It's not enough that your ex-husband intimidates you after he left you. It's not enough that the doctor said there's no hope. This giant looks so big, and if that wasn't enough, that giant is 9'9", and he's covered in metal. It looks as if he's impenetrable. It looks as if he's never going to fall. I'm about to preach myself happy this morning. It looks as if there's no hope. It looks as if there's never going to be a restoration of the things the enemy stole from you. It looks as if it's impossible. It looks as if there's no way you're going to win. It looks as if there's no way you're going to come out victorious. And so when you look at his armor and the special technology that the Philistines had, you said, oh God, I'm not going to make it. And if that wasn't bad enough, you looked at his weapons and you looked at how he was equipped and you looked at his appearance and it looked impenetrable and you looked at his carved sword, verse 6 and 7, and you looked at how just the tip of the sword weighed 15 pounds. You looked at how he was protected, verse 7. Oftentimes your accuser and the people who hurt you and the things that are against you look like they're protected more than you. You look like a little David out in the middle of nowhere going through something you didn't ask for, and then all of a sudden you see something 10 times bigger than you, and you look at something that's not only bigger than you, you look at something that has more power than you, you look at something that has more protection than you. It's one thing to have an enemy come after you, it's another thing to have the enemy protected that's coming after you. And so it looks like as if all the odds are against you, that you're never going to move from this to that in your life. But I'm here to tell you the devil's a liar. I'm here to tell you there's nothing in this room stronger than the hand of the Almighty God. There's no cancer stronger than he is. There's no family brokenness stronger than he is. There's no molestation. There's no rape stronger than he is. There's no bitterness stronger than he is. There's no wound from an alcoholic father stronger than he is. There's nothing in this room, nothing in this world, nothing in this city, nothing in this state, nothing in this country, nothing in another country, nothing in another language, nothing in English stronger than he is. For you can understand without a shadow of a doubt, neither depth nor height nor principalities nor things present nor things to come by shall any means separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, you have been made a champion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is not your battle, it is his. Hey, and if it wasn't enough that he's big, and this is what really gets me, it's not enough that he's big, it's not enough that he's protected, it's not enough that he has better equipment than I do, he's smarter than I am, he's more efficient than I am, he has to be a smart aleck. But that's where he made his mistake. That's where he made his mistake. This intimidates me. Cancer intimidates me. Death intimidates me. Waiting on a promotion I should have got 10 years ago intimidates me. But that makes me mad. Blaspheme the Holy God of Israel. Run your mouth and talk about my God. Insult my identity as a child of the living God. And you may be 9'9" and I may be 4'2", but you're going to have to kill me because you just ticked me off. I've had enough of you. You ever notice that when you really get ticked off, you lose common sense? You know what I'm talking about? Let's use something easy. That ex-husband goes out and marries your best friend. And you're sitting there trying to overcome this bitterness. And if that wasn't bad enough, he says, I'm not giving you a dime. You never did anything for me anyway. I earned this money without you. You sit home and took the kids to soccer. Ooh. Besides that, she's prettier than you. And she weighs less than you. Oh, you're going down, buddy. And she's more intelligent than you. And her mother and father like me better than your mother and father like me. Keep it up. Because here's a little secret that idiot doesn't know. You can make a decision to fight and never tell anybody. I've had enough of you. I've had enough. I said, I've had enough. Threatening questions. Why have you come to draw out battle? Verse 8. Threatening person. Personal pronouns. 9.5 foot tall. Violent figure. Why would the slaves of Saul fight me? Cancer will look at you and say, who do you think your God is? The haunting voices of someone who's done you wrong will say, you deserved it. And there's a threatening voice in the season of this. But when those threatening voices awaken something deep within you, in the man in between, honey, it's on like Donkey Kong. And so in the midst of this threatening deal, he gives a threatening proposal. And this is another place that he made a mistake. He said, if you kill me, keep laughing, you overgrown goon. If you kill me, I'll be your slave. If you defeat me, I'll serve you. But if I defeat you, you will die in this and never see that, and you will serve me to the day you die. And I won't kill you and make it easy for you. I'll torture you and make you a slave and take your freedom away. And it was that thing that causes the majority of people to say, I will not fight the battle. I will learn to live with having been molested. I will learn to live with no self-esteem. I will accept what you have said about me. I will learn to live with less than what I know God has promised me. I have decided to eat leeks and onions in Egypt. And the majority of people never see that because they decide to live in this and never come out. The second thing you need to know real quickly is that David had this psychological battle with Goliath. U.S. military analysis know that the enemy's mind is amongst the chief strategies in defeating any enemy. But thank God David was able to grasp reality. The soldier saw Goliath as a champion. Saul viewed Goliath as an experienced soldier that fought for a lifetime. But David had a different view on it. He said, this sucker's just another Philistine. So he grasped reality that he's not too big for my God. I know he looks big. I know he's intimidated. And dear God, I know he's a smart aleck. But I don't care what his spear weighs. I don't care how much his leg protection weighs. I don't care how many pieces of steel cover his breast. I don't care how his helmet weighs so many pounds. I don't care what he says. I don't care how he looks, because the battle is not mine, it is God's. So it doesn't matter what he says, how he looks, what she did to you, that doesn't matter. So he grasped reality, and then he knew his own identity. He saw, and his soldiers had a twisted understanding of their own identity. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 26 says they were scared to death. Average people are scared to death. Status quo are scared to death. Slaves are scared to death. That's why they remain a slave. And until you become Frederick Douglass and you stand up to your overseer who's beating you with the Bible in his hand and you've said, I've had enough, you'll never see freedom. Slaves are scared. And listen to me and listen to me well this morning. Satan's number one job, his number one goal, if Satan were to hit the lottery, what would it be for him? To make you a slave. What is a slave? I'll never get over this. What is a slave? My mother's put an effect on me that I cannot overcome. What is a slave? I don't know if God is that supernatural. What is a slave? God doesn't love me like he loves my sister. What is a slave? It's the voice of an ex-spouse that says you weren't good enough. What is a slave? It's a boss that rejected you for a promotion when you knew you were more qualified than the one that got it. What is a slave? It's someone who believes what the enemy says about them. I want you to make up your mind to be either a slave or a child of God. And if you are a child of God, you will not master me. You may kill me. You may hit me. You may say whatever you want to say about me. You can intimidate me. You can do whatever you want to do. But I got news for you. You are the one that's going to fall. I'm not. I'm falling on my knees and I'm getting out of this and going to that if it hair lips the devil, because I have had enough of living as a slave. They were dismayed and terrified, the majority, but David, on the other hand, said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who blasphemes the army of the living God? It's like you can see his brothers, the status quo, the people who don't believe in divine healing, the people who don't believe in the supernatural of God, says you need to be quiet, you need to shut up, you need to stop praying, you know, you pray too loud, you shouldn't dance in church, you need to be quiet, you need to stop quoting scriptures, you need to go have a drink and enjoy yourself a little while. And the reality is, when you put your mind on God, there's no way you're gonna lose. Be quiet. You stay in the prison. But if you ever learned how to sing at midnight, honey, if you ever learned how to sing the songs of Zion in front of a 9-foot, 9-foot bully, have you ever learned to have faith when the pool of Bethesda wouldn't let you in? Have you ever waited all your life for God to move because you couldn't walk? And then one day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Son of God walks by and says, take up your bed and walk. What would have happened if the lame man had given up hope? My God, this is good preaching. What would have happened if the woman with the issue of blood said, I bled all my life, just forget it? What would have happened if the blind man said, it's okay being blind? What would have happened if you begin to like your prison? What would have happened if you had listened, Job, to all of those smart friends you had out here? Am I the only one? I'm tired of people giving advice about something they ain't never been through. It's like those jokers that ain't got no kids that tell you how to raise them. Somebody say amen. That deserves a 2-snap and a rewind, Wanda. Do you hear me? But when you're in the middle of the battle and the clock is ticking and you've had all you can take, or you're in a battle that you didn't ask for, you're just delivering lunch. It's when you get inside deep down and you hear something awaken in you because you've had enough. And you're like a eunuch. Why sit here until I die? I've lived in this long time. I've heard her voice too long. I can't even buy something without being scared she's going to get mad. Every time he gets angry, I think he's going to hit me. Every time there's a promotion, I prepare myself for rejection. I've grown comfortable in prison. But then there comes this defining moment in your battle to where a 9-foot, 9-foot impenetrable smart aleck finally awakens something deep inside of you. I know you've been thinking that God causes the click to move from this to that. And sometimes he does, but there are most times and many times that it's your behavior that causes the click. And a lot of you are going to realize in the next couple of weeks that the door was never locked to begin with. Goliath made some big mistakes. He really just made one big, dumb mistake. Your enemy makes the same mistake. They trusted in their own strength. Their own intelligence. Their own preparation. Their own ability. You didn't ask for this battle. You just showed up to give lunch. And there comes this point in your walk with God to where you realize that there is a giant at your gate that's been keeping you from knowing the door was unlocked the whole time. My God, this is good. And you've been in prison, Egypt, 40 years longer in the desert as a nomad than you had to be. I understand the power of a giant. The problem is, as Scripture has just clearly shown us, we all know our enemy more than we know our God. You know how tall your enemy is. You know how much his sword weighs. You know how much the tip of his sword weighs. You know what covers his hair. You know what covers his legs. You know what shoes he's wearing, whether they're Ferragamo's or Allen Edmonds. You know. What you don't know is the power of God to unlock that door. What you need to understand, Israel, is when you come back, you don't say, we're like small animals and they are like giants. We'll never take the promised land. You got to be the man in between. What does the word in between mean? It's the Hebrew word for champion. Where does it come from? It comes when the enemy draws a line between this and that. The good shows up and the bad shows up. Israel and Philistine. And Philistine shows up a loud mouth, intimidating bully. And Israel shows up because God's won more battles for them than they can count and they don't even have the right equipment. But let me make something clear to you. On that day, the status quo of Israel stood still and did not go out to the Philistines. On that day, let's put Israel over here. Israel was stuck in this, and the Philistines had that. And Eliab, David's brother, and his other brothers said, you've been a smart aleck, prideful little kid our whole life. Shut up. I don't have a doggone problem fighting him. But when I'm fighting him and then I got to fight some joker that I brought lunch for and had and tried to help all my life, and it's my own family holding me back. It's the person I've helped that screwed me over. Can I get a witness? That's a whole nother thing. But all those cowards, including the brothers of David, stayed here. And they drew, according to the scriptures, a battle line. And the armies of Philistines drew a battle line. And they were facing face to face. But the word for Hebrew that says in between comes from, gives us our word champion, because someone in Israel has to move in between. You got to get out from the masses, come away from the status quo, and everybody that says you can't do it, and become a champion. Champions are alone. That's why they call them champions. Champions have courage because they left the majority and they walked out in between. The mistake was that Goliath walked out first. So he had the upper hand. She left you before you left her. She told you your identity before you could define it yourself. But if you ever bold enough to walk out of this as a little boy feeding sheep that ain't been through a whole lot in his life, because his smart aleck bullying finally awakened you to who you really are. And you stand in front of the champion of rape. And you stand in front of the champion of rejection. And you stand in front of the champion that beat your mama. And you stand in front of the rejection, the champion that said you're not good enough for the promotion. And you stand in front of the champion there's only two of you, because this is a lonely transition from this to that. There ain't a whole lot of people who leave this and go to that, because they've been intimidated by the size of the enemy. But if your enemy ever insults you to the point you've had enough, you'll look up like my grandma's chihuahua. That dog was about that high and that big. And you would have thought he was a pit bull on steroids. It didn't matter how big it was, a horse, a truck, a car, a human being that weighs 350 pounds. A gun, Rusty, didn't care about the size of the intruder in my grandma's house. Rusty was loyal to something greater than he was. And every one of you are going to come to the place at the moment God begins to transition you to where you have one last test, and the test will say, one, have one question on it. Will you fight? Or will you give in? That is the test. You've been through tests, so many tests that you're tired of tests, and teachers don't talk during tests. But there'll be one last question on the test right before the gate clicks. Will you fight? Or will you give in? And if you ever have that moment where the Holy Ghost gives you the courage, it'll hit you out of nowhere because you didn't show up for a fight.
you're just doing what you're supposed to do. You're in church, you're tithing. You can't get ahead financially, but you're still tithing. You're coming on Wednesdays because you love God, not because you have to. And you've learned to be content in whatever situation you're in. Jeremy, come on up. I got to give the altar call right now. We could all fall. Not yet, Jeremy, but just be ready. Delivery for Mr. Knight. It's another test. I can't take another test. I stood in front of my baby's coffin. I buried my wife. I lost my job. I didn't get the promotion. That school rejected me. And you want me to take another test? Dear Mr. Knight, the Board of Regency of the Kingdom of God delivers you one final test before graduation. Will you quit or will you fight? I don't have the strength to fight this sucker. My pastor just pulled me off of the body of my daughter. What did you say? He can kill me, but I'm getting out. The answer is I'm going to fight. And I'm going to define myself as a man in between. He's bigger than me. He's a smart aleck. He's more prepared. He looks impenetrable. But if I die, I'm going to die with the possibility of becoming the next champion. It's not my battle. It's the Lord's. And then the people who hurt you try to feel sorry for you. And pity never does anybody any good. So they say, little David, since you're about to get your hind end kicked, wear my coat. And so here's little David, this big old coat. And his brothers, those cowards, said, it's been nice knowing you. Here's my sword. So this kid that didn't choose a battle now looks as if he's ready for a battle. Because he has accepted for a moment, maybe out of fear, because the Bible says that David said, if it be thy will. In other words, if there's a way out, I'll take it. The interesting thing about this story is I'm not quite sure who we're really talking about. What do you mean? I'm not quite sure we're talking about David, or are we talking about Jesus? Jesus didn't come but the fight picked him. Sin entered into the world. David was minding his own business delivering lunch, and Jesus minded his own business and said, I am the bread of life. Are we talking about David? Are we talking about Jesus? Are we talking about a David that looks like Jesus? We'll get there in the coming weeks. But all of a sudden, David realizes that if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with integrity, because I've been through too much to quit now. You ever been to that place in your life where you kind of get a little bit of freedom? You're standing probably about right here. And you say, you know what? You should have killed me while you had the chance. Because now you made me mad. You should have took all my money while you had the chance. Because I've learned a couple of things, and I got a doggone good lawyer, and I got a better one than you got. But you get to the place that you realize that you didn't get yourself out, even though the door was unlocked. But that it was your decision to take the last test and answer the question effectively, will you fight or will you quit? And then you realize there's a giant at the gate. Not of this, but of that. And so you're a man in between. You're a woman in between with the potential to be a champion. And you take the coat off because it doesn't fit. And you take the sword and throw it away. And you go, the only thing I got, and you listen to me carefully right now. The only thing I got to draw on to win this next battle is the knowledge that came to me when I won those other battles. You bring the wisdom. That's why God never wastes a tear. You bring the wisdom of killing the bear. You bring the wisdom of killing the lion. You bring the wisdom of protecting sheep. You bring a wisdom of being faithful, just to be faithful, feeding people who are ungrateful with the sandwiches you're preparing. And you bring it all forward and you reach into your pocket and say, God, this is all I got. It's all I got. Three stones. But if I trust in God, not in the stones, I may be the next champion. One simple altar call very quickly. God told me to ask you, will you quit or will you fight? It's not about whether you cry. You don't have to have any kind of external manifestation. If you do, it's God. You don't have to, it's not about how you look or what you do. It's about what you decide. Choose you this day, life or death.
For a saint is just a sinner who fell down.
I know you're out of tears. I know you are out of laughter. You're out of strength. You're out of fuel. You're out of hope. You're out of faith. But answer the question. Why sit here until you die? I'm sick of leeks and onions. I'm sick of a man that never gave a crap about me, defining in the secret places of my mind and memory who I am. I'm tired of a job telling me whether I'm good enough. I know that all things works together to the good that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I know that exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever think, hope, or ask is at my disposal according to the Spirit that works in me. And you get to the end to where you get mad. You've done it now. One question. An introspective fall. Will you quit? Or will you agree not to quit? And I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's multiple individuals underneath the sound of my voice that God said to tell you this morning, I want to see you walk the aisle. I want to see you make up your mind. And I want you to tell me and the whole world that you are not going to quit. One, come forward. Identify yourself by identifying and knowing who you are in Christ. Two, are you tired of leeks and onions in Egypt? Are you weary and well-doing? What the heck do you got to lose? Is the voice of your adversary driving you crazy? Are you weary at the size of the enemy? Are you intimidated by what the doctor who loves God said? Would you like to sleep tonight? Have you ever learned how to sleep at midnight chained to a prisoner and a guard? Can you sing the songs of Zion and wipe away tears at the same time? Or will you lay there, blind Bartimaeus, and agree to be blind the rest of your life? Woman with the issue of blood, how bad do you want healing? Will you resign yourself to say, I'll bleed the rest of my life? Or will you live and die with faith, hope, and love? And decide to be a man or a woman in between? You see, life is funny because you go from one school to the next school. The school of defeat and failure is the greatest education you'll ever get in your life. Failure is wonderful fertilizer. Failure will humble you to make you lean on God. Failure will decimate your situation where all you've got is God. But if you pass the test, will you fight or will you give in? Will you give in? Are you going to fight? Fight or flee? The next school is the school of champions. And there's a lot less people in that school because they accept in the registration program many less qualified candidates. But I'd rather die in this, having tried to be a champion, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, than to never have got out in the field of possibility and future and potential and glory. It's better to die knowing you tried than it is to die knowing you never tried. One, there's still someone else. I don't know who you are. The Holy Ghost just told me. You're here. You're listening to me right now. Your whole life has been lately full of tension. Full of tension. Not necessarily people fighting you, but your heart, your soul is full of tension. Get up and become a man or a woman in between. Answer the question on the very last test. Will you fight or will you flee? One, two, three. Are you here?
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.